I love your energy and the questions, and keep going at it. I think you got a nice show on your hands here. So everybody listening, go type in Sade Champagne Show into iTunes and give it a 5-star review.
Good evening, everyone. That was Neon Feather featuring David Dunn with The Long Way Home. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 60 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search The Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song, and to Scott Swoosh for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced over 300 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power Dream Tour and Hold On Overcome solo tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight, join us for a new Living with Fearless Joy with Rick and Melissa Wood segment, a new Wellness Made Simple with Veronica Esquivel Winters segment, and a new Mind Right Game Tight segment with Michelle Morgan. I am always booking new shows and performances. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my tours, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos and supporting all my new music. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going back into the recording studio with my music producers, The Quakes. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out my official website, iamsadechampagne.com. That's iamsadechampagne.com. I will be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I'd love to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Sade Champagne Show, or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who's already been tweeting me, you Facebook me, Instagram me, YouTube me, email me. Your support amazes me. Our next segment of the night is Wellness Made Simple. Join certified holistic life coach, clinical aromatherapist, and inspirational speaker Veronica Esquivel Winters to get some easy and practical tips on how to start living a more holistic life, bringing unity to your mind, body, and spirit. Hashtag Wellness Made Simple to ask her your health and wellness questions and join in the conversation.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us today on the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. I'm Veronica Esquivel Winters with the Wellness Made Simple segment, and today I'm going to be talking about the power of meditation. That is the power of meditation. There are so many different articles and definitions on meditation, and I personally do think that it is something personal to each individual of what meditation looks like and means to them. But I like to explain it as that it is a state of profound, deep peace that occurs when the mind is calm and silent, yet completely alert. In meditation, the mind is clear, relaxed, and inwardly focused. This helps us to look within, to find within, and to verify within. With meditation, there are so many different benefits, and I'm just going to touch on a few since we do only have a short amount of time on my segment, and it does have a lot of different benefits to meditation. And even though meditation has been around for a really long time, it is an ancient practice that has gained a lot of popularity here on our Western culture. It does have a lot of benefits, and even new benefits and new studies that are coming out on the benefits of meditation. So the first one I wanted to talk about is meditation reduces stress. Through mindful meditation practice, our minds can become more capable, focused, and clear, allowing us to better handle stressful and demanding situations. This allows us to experience a calmer life. It is also known to slow aging. Meditation has been proven to be the fountain of youth. Medical research has proven that patients who use meditation regularly show an increase of melatonin produced in their bodies. Melatonin is a very beneficial hormone known to slow the aging process and energizes the immune system. Meditation practice benefits cardiovascular health. Meditation induces relaxation, which increases the compound nitric oxide that causes blood vessels to open and blood pressure to drop. It also improves immunity. Meditation increases electrical activity in the left side of your brain. This part of our brain acts as a command center for our immune system. Increased activity in this area of the brain helps make the immune system act more efficiently and produce more defense cells. Next, I wanted to talk about simple steps to start your meditation journey. So some of the things that you can start with or have to start your meditation practice is pretty simple. You just need something comfortable to sit on and a timer. So how to sit. You want to sit with your back straight in an upright posture. There are different ways to meditate. There is walking meditation, standing meditation, and a few other ones, just to name a few. But I feel like an easy way to start your meditation journey is just by simply sitting, keeping your back straight in an upright posture. Your eyes can be either closed or open, resting your hands, palms down, or on your legs, wherever they feel most comfortable. If you are sitting on the floor, cross your legs in front of you. Look slightly downward, even if your eyes are closed. Get comfortable. Start your timer. Bring attention and focus to your breath. Take deep, slow breaths, focusing on your core or center, in through your nose, slowly exhaling through your mouth, and slowly pushing the air out. And repeat. Keep your focus on your breath. If your mind starts to wander, gently bring your attention back to your breath. Meditating for 10 minutes a day, just starting small where you're at, is very beneficial. You don't need to jump into a 20, 30 hour meditation every day of the week. If that is something that you feel called to do right away, feel free. But I like to start where we're at and start simple and easy and ease our way into, bigger things. So also just be easy on yourself. It's natural for our minds to wander and start focusing on all these different things in our lives. The more you practice, the more aware you become, the deeper your meditation practice becomes. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Wellness Made Simple segment. This is Veronica Escobel Winters on the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Until next time, cheers to your health.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Our next segment of the night is a Mind Right, Game Tight with Michelle Morgan. Join published author, speaker, and transformational sports coach Michelle Morgan as she shares inspirational stories of athletes who use the power of their mind to take their game to the next level in sports and in life. Hashtag Mind Right, Game Tight to ask her your questions and join in the conversation.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Mind Right Game Tight Show. I'm your host, Michelle Morgan. I'm a transformational sports coach, which means I work with student athletes on the mental aspect of sport, working with them to enhance their mental mindset to be great in sports, but most importantly is using all those tools and traits that they're learning as a student athlete to take that into being triumphant in life, because we're going to spend a lot more time in life than we do in sports. I'm also the author of How Youth Triumph in Sports, Tools That Create a Triumphant Life, a life skills book that I wrote for student athletes as well, telling my journey of my ups and downs as a basketball player earning a basketball scholarship, to share my experiences so that the student athlete may also learn and understand what it is that we're trying to learn, and once again, bringing those traits and skills into life as well, because that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time. And you can get my book on Amazon.com. Also, for more information about me, you can go to www.bethesoro.com. We have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Amber Warren. Amber is a former basketball player and current skill development specialist based in Oxnard, California. She is the founder of From the Blacktop, a basketball development program, and is the assistant varsity coach for Oxnard High School girls basketball program. Amber has been coaching and training boys and girls of all ages and levels of experience for 10 years. She also has a special interest in connecting physiology, neuroscience, and theory to basketball development. So thank you, Amber, for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So how did you get into the whole skills development as a coach, from a player to becoming a coach?
It's kind of the way I kind of got into coaching. I had a coach, or I had a cousin actually, who coached a travel basketball team, and he just asked me if I could help out. I think I had just finished a season of junior college basketball. So I was just like, sure. And I just remember the feeling that I got when I first fell in love with the game of basketball, fell in love with playing, was the same feeling I got when I first began coaching. So I immediately just began, I just immersed myself, consumed myself in information and reading up on different resources and tools as far as how to become the best possible coach that I could be. Now, I realized I learned a lot about myself when I began coaching, because I realized I was much more interested in developing skilled, creative players as opposed to focusing on X's and O's and strategy, things like that. So that's what really motivated me to specialize in skill development. I was a little more concerned with the individual as opposed to, the team strategy game part of it.
And is that something that you've noticed about yourself, even as a player, when you actually played the game as well?
Oh, absolutely. I thought that everybody felt the same way. I know when I was a player, I loved playing for coaches that allowed me the freedom to, to utilize the skills that I have been developing, the freedom to be creative. But a lot of coaches are more interested in the X's and O's part of it. And I feel like can constrain players and keep them from really reaching their full potential. But then I meet players, that are actually more comfortable playing in that type of system. But for me, as a player, I definitely was more about creativity and kind of a free-flowing game, more conceptualized, when we talk about offense, more concepts as opposed to, diagrammed plays, cuts, and movement, So that definitely had an impact on the way that I coached, obviously.
And then what was your experience like as a student athlete? So what are something that you experienced, as an athlete that you now instill in your players as something that you learned with the kids that you work with now?
Well, that's another thing. I definitely, as a student athlete, it's almost laughable to even call myself that, just because I barely got by. I was one of those kids that barely got by in school, and I just did it because I wanted to play basketball, so I never really took school serious. Which, of course, affected me in terms of grades and things like that. But the part that I regret the most is the learning aspect of school. We don't think of school as, ironically, we don't think of school as a place to learn. It's just a place where we're more concerned with opportunistic goals. So it's going to get me to college, so then I can get, and I go through college, so then I can get a good job, But I wish that as a student athlete, I would have taken school as serious as I did with basketball. In terms of with basketball, you go to practice and things like that because you want to learn so that you can be the best basketball player that you could possibly be. I wish I would have taken school the same way as far as going to school to learn so that I could be the best me that I could possibly be, So just being a student athlete that focuses on school and the academic part of it just helps you as far as being a more holistic individual, your personal growth, I think, is so huge. If you can get that into your head in high school, as far as the importance of personal growth, I think that, you'll just be so much better prepared for life, as opposed to just, skating through just to play basketball. So that's the one lesson that I've taken with me, as far as my experience as a student athlete, and helped out the student athletes that I coach today with.
And how do you implement or even, talk about those things with the student athletes that you work with on the personal, mindset of growth, the personal development of growth, as well as understanding what it means to learn, in the classroom as well?
Really it starts with self-love. So I think that that's a big thing that we have to teach kids to be able to do. And we tell them all the time, you got to love yourself. You got to love yourself. But it's like, how do you do that? And really, I think it's teaching kids that love is about, it's not just a feeling. You can't just say, oh, I feel like I love basketball, but it's a verb. So it's like, what are you doing? Are your actions in alignment with what you say? So as a student athlete, or, in high school, when it comes to being your best in personal growth, you're going to want to be your best and you're going to want to grow if you truly love yourself. So your actions have to be in alignment with that. If I truly love myself, I got to make sure that I'm applying myself and doing the best that I can in everything that it is that I'm doing that's going to help me to be a better me.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's just making sure that basically that our actions are in alignment with what, you know, our goals are and what we say about ourselves.
Yes, I definitely agree. Self-love, self-worth is the foundation of, you know, my business, Be This Auto. So I definitely hear what you're saying and understand the importance of it. And you're like, you're right. It's all about taking action. Like, it's one thing to say it, but to take action, it takes things to a whole nother level. Just like saying, I want to be a great basketball player or whatever it is that I want to do. It's great to say it, but what's the action, the work that I'm willing to put in to attain what I'm saying that I want? So that's where the work really comes in. And that's the hard part, you know, because it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, I'm telling, I know it's not easy. Self-love is not like, oh, it's just so easy. Even working on my game, it was never easy, you know? Right. So, you know, putting in the effort into school to be the student athlete, to learn, that stuff is not easy, but it shows like what we have inside of us and what we're capable of doing. Not just in like sports or school, but like in any area of our life, relationships with our own selves and like the growth that we can develop as well. So yeah, I appreciate that, you know, you're instilling that in the athletes that you work with. And then, so you have, From the Blacktop. So how was that created? How did you come up with that concept of From the Blacktop?
From the Blacktop was actually formerly known as Team Intensity. And with Team Intensity, we were focused on skill development, but we also were very focused on taking teams to compete in tournaments. So with From the Blacktop, I kind of wanted to flip it and just, well, first of all, we got the name because the Blacktop represents the point from which, the point and place from which you begin to work towards your biggest goals and dreams, which I think the Blacktop represents that for a lot of ball players. So that's how we got the name. And then we just really wanted to emphasize the individual. So not so much competing in games, but making sure that the individual is developing. So we provide individual skill development training and small group skill development training. We still do form teams and compete in tournaments. But the whole ethos of From the Blacktop is basically to create an educative and developmental environment where like deep learning is taking place so that players are able to, you know, to transfer the skills that are being developed to games. Like without transfer, there's nothing. So that's the biggest part of what we do. And we do that by making sure that anything that we do that's competitive as far as in practice or in games, we not only encourage, but we enforce players to utilize what it is that we've been developing in practices. So mistakes are fine. We don't, you know, we don't get upset about mistakes. We don't really constrain them. You know, going back to what we talked about earlier, we don't really constrain them with X's and O's and things like that, because we really want to develop creative, highly skilled players capable of thinking the game. So, which every coach wants one of those on their team. So that's pretty much in a nutshell what we do and what we're about with From the Blacktop.
That's awesome. And so what have you, like, I've seen, like, where your kids have developed, you know, like, they've made, like, what, all league teams, county teams, things like that. So what is something that you've learned from one of your players that's, you learned something about yourself that's helped you grow from somebody that you've worked with as either, like, someone that you coach on the girls basketball team or as one of your skill development players as well?
That's a good one. I've learned so much from the kids that I've coached. It's hard to even pick, but I think probably the biggest thing that I've learned as of late would be just understanding the power in my words as a coach and somebody who's so important in their lives, you know? So effective communication, you know, constantly making sure that I'm up to date with them and I'm checking in on them, making sure that they understand that they're more than just a basketball player to me. I'm going back to that love thing, that love is a verb, you know, making sure that I'm not just taking, you know, and having these players, like, what can you do for me to make me look good as a coach? But it's like, I'm constantly giving of myself and extending myself to make sure I'm there for them. But, you know, more specifically, telling them that I'm proud of them before they even accomplish those things. I think that we get so focused as adults, you know, adults, parents, coaches, teachers, all of us, we get so focused on like the end goal, the destination, that we forget, you know, that these are people that are evolving and growing in front of us, and we have to constantly encourage them and let them know that we're proud of them before they even get to that point, or if they ever, you know, they may not ever even get to that point. So I think that's something that has been super beneficial for the players that I've coached, is just that they know that as long as they're constantly working towards evolving and growing, that they should be proud of themselves, and because life is all about evolution.
Yeah, and even listening to you say that, it's a reminder, like, even as adults or people in general, it is about, like, that journey. You know, a lot of the times, like, I've been focused, like, the destination. I want the goal. I want the goal. I want the goal. Yep. And it's forgetting, like, all the little things that go in between that you encounter, the adversity, the highs, the lows, you know, things like that. And it's like, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't feel like it's good enough because I don't have the destination. I don't have the destination yet. And it's really just focusing on every moment and being present in every moment and appreciating it for what it is in that moment, and as to what I'm learning, how am I getting better? I'm doing something that I didn't do yesterday, whatever it may be. And those are all steps that are part of the journey, you know, right. Because that's what matters. It's like, am I, once again, goes back to action, the verb, am I taking action?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what matters. And it's to remember those mini victories that we have, the micro wins that we encounter. Like, today I did something. Today is the second day I woke up early to train with Amber. That's something that I never have done. And that's something that should be applauded. You
right.
know, like, it's the little things that we do that really show us and take us to that next level that we didn't even probably see ourselves attaining, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's very, very important and great. And then, so when you working with kids, and we can go back to learning, what are the tools, or who are you getting your information from? Like, how do you learn? How do you, you know, get your studies in order to implement that and give it back to the kids as well as the information that you're gaining? Like, where do you get your knowledge and studies from?
I mean, we are in the information age. Like, there is no excuse for not being knowledgeable about something that you totally love and are passionate about. So, I mean, for me, it's just, you know, libraries, books. I reach out, you know, there's so many platforms, social media platforms, that it's easy to reach out to people who are maybe more experienced than you, or, you know, have more knowledge than you on a specific topic. So I've actually reached out to neuroscientists, on social media platforms. I reach out to physical therapists, to people who specialize in biomechanics and physiology, you know. And then, of course, there's always the internet, you know. The internet is like, I mean, you can find absolutely anything you possibly want to know about on the internet, you know. So there are plenty of resources and tools, you know, that are available to almost everybody, you know, where that have helped me tremendously as far as gaining knowledge. But I think for me, you know, I read a lot, but being able to make connections with people has been very big for me as far as gaining knowledge on certain topics.
Yeah, connections are so important, right? I mean, that's really how the world goes around, is like how we all connect with each other, and the information that you get from someone else, you connect that and then you feed it into like one of your students or players, or even a coach of yours, a friend, somebody that you're having a conversation with. It doesn't have to be, you know, one of your players. And then they go and share that information, and then your player takes that in and they go share it with one of their friends. They're like, look what I'm doing. And they're like, hey, how'd you do that? Or whatever it is. And so it's like, it just shows how important connection with communication is. It's not just to say I have a long friends list, but how do I communicate with that right. network, basically, right. to share that information. Something that, like, I heard from you that, like, kind of stood out to me is freedom. So I want to know, it sounds like freedom is something not only that you've experienced, like, in terms of, like, oh, I don't want to be a constraint player, where there's, like, it's all focused on running the play, X's and O's, and being creative. So what does freedom represent to you in your life, like, in general?
I would say doing what you love to do. Not just what you love to do, but what you're passionate about. So what's emotionally compelling for you. So you have to do it. You know, being able to do that every single day, day in and day out, absolutely makes me feel free. And I think it's freeing, because going back to what I said earlier about telling kids you're proud of them before they get to, you know, a destination. I see all these kids, you know, I talk to them about what they want to do as far as their careers or in their lives. They all say like the same, the typical, you know, successful careers, like, oh, I want to be, I'll be a lawyer, or I'll be a cop. And it's like, oh, well, why? Is that what you really want to do? You know, so freedom is about creating your own standards for your life. So thinking about what you look like without conforming to what everybody else says you should be doing, without maybe taking the path that everybody else says you should be taking, and just focus on your own growth and spending every day doing things that you absolutely love to do and that you are consumed with passion for. So for me, that's what it means to really, truly be free.
Can you name one example in your life how you're free?
Yeah. So for me, which has kind of been, it was a struggle for me for a while, is, you know, I didn't go to a university, you know, and the first thing that people, you know, they'll start talking to you and having a conversation with you, and the first thing they'll ask you is like, oh, where'd you go to school, you know? And it could be a little, you know, you could, it's something that can make you a little bit insecure about yourself, because we base so much of, we value people based on, you know, what schools, universities they went to, based on how much money they make and da, da, da. So for me, when I really broke out of that and just decided that I was just going to be, you know, a self-learner, because that's what works for me, that I was going to take my own path, and, you know, instead of getting a nine to five job or whatever, I was going to do what it is that I love to do, which is coaching and training youth and mentoring youth basketball players. That's what's really been freeing for me.
I can relate to what you're saying when it comes to school, only because we do get the question, like, where'd you go to school? And for me, at one point I felt like, well, I went to a D2 school. So it's like, oh, I didn't go D1. Does that mean I'm not good enough or whatever? All these questions come into play, because it's like, oh, you played D2. And it's like, automatically we assume because you played, if you don't play Division I basketball, then your stock lowers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it has nothing to do with that. Because for me, it was really about, I chose the best school. And it was my experiences that made me love where I went to school. You know, the people that I connected with, the friends that I still have, the experiences, the places we traveled to, the stories that we got, also like my education. So all those things matter. And it really is to be proud of, you know, where you've come from and what you've done. And there doesn't mean that you're less than anybody else just because your story's not different, or because those schools aren't the ones highlighted on ESPN and things like that. You know, everyone is a highlight in their very own way. And it's knowing that and sharing that story, because there's other people who feel the same way, and letting them know that it's okay. You know, share the story to know, like, I'm still doing great things. This doesn't mean that I'm a mediocre person because there's a Division II behind my school as to where I played athletically, or right. NAIA or Division III or whatever it is. It's junior college. You know, be mm-hmm. proud of those accomplishments. Once again, going back to the journey and not necessarily the destination. Exactly. So, yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that, Amber. I want to thank you for being on the show. I definitely loved your vulnerability and, you know, talking about different things on how we help the youth through self-love, self-worth, learning, also like saying, being proud of somebody before it actually happens. Like, let's not wait for it to happen to be proud, because that's where we gain inspiration and motivation to keep going, is because we haven't done it yet. So it's like, we all need that pat on the back, the motivation, you know, you got this type deal. So I applaud you and all the great work that you're doing with all the youth that you're working with. I definitely see what you're doing, and I think it's beautiful and great. I mean, you continue on keeping on doing really great things with our youth in general, not just athletes, but their people, you know, and that's what's most important. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Michelle.
Yeah. And so one more thing before you go, you have to finish this sentence. I am grateful for.
Ooh. Love.
That is beautiful. Well, once again, Amber, thank you for being on the Mime Right Game Tight Show. Treasure yourself and shine.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Our next segment of the night is Living with Fearless Joy. Join pastors, authors, and speakers Rick and Melissa Wood as they share tips and testimonies for living a life free from fear and full of joy. Hashtag Living with Fearless Joy to ask them questions and join in the conversation.
Hey guys, this is Rick and Melissa Wood with Living with Fearless Joy, and we are so glad to be back with you this season. Sure feels like it's been a while, but we have a lot of things in our heart that we just love to share with you guys, and we're excited to connect again and just talk about what's going on in our own lives and be with you here on this season of the Sade Champagne Show. So kind of the season that Rick and I have been in recently is we have obviously made a lot of transitions, as you guys know, moved out of pastoring in Southern California to having our own business here in Portland. And I'd say probably the last 6 to 9 months have been trying in a lot of ways, and probably the top way would be financial. And as any of you know who have been through financial ups and downs, finances can cause a real stress in your life and in your relationships. And it's really caused us to stop and go, okay, what do we need to do in our lives to adjust to the season of stress that really has the potential to create fear? And speaking of that word fear, I'm kind of titling these quick few minutes with you, how to not have fear in the midst of fears. Because we all do have fears. I mean, there are things that could be emotional, relational, financial, physical. There are things that genuinely we have fears about, that we're afraid of. But how do we live our lives without fear when those things cross our paths? And so I would just, you know, start off. I'm going to just start off with this first thing, and then I'll pass it over to Rick. But I think that one of the main things over the years that when I'm facing something that has the potential to trigger fear in me is I remember and I rehearse the testimonies of what God has done for me in the past, especially with the situation that we have faced recently with just some of the financial crisis and crunches that we've had in our lives the last few months. I can go back and rehearse the times that God showed up in unbelievable ways in our finances, from people leaving $5,000 anonymously in an envelope on our doorstep to someone sending us a check that paid off our debt to almost the very penny. Just story after story we have in our lives that I can rehearse of the testimonies that God has always provided for us. And so I would just say that if there's any issue in your life where you feel like fear might be trying to creep its ugly head, rehearse the testimonies of how God has always been there for you.
Hey guys, good to talk to you and quote unquote see you again. We have missed, or I have missed, talking to you all and being on the Sade Champagne Show. So yeah, everything Melissa's saying is great and perfect. And you know, one of the ways that you can rehearse the testimonies is turning them into declarations, positive affirmations, some people call them that, but just basically saying out loud, you know, I remember when God did this, and you say it out loud and you say, I declare he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. You know, I declare this time, you know, things are going to work out in my favor. I'm going to, you know, and just, you just begin to make positive declarations. I will handle this situation. The situation is not bigger than me. You know, circumstances will not define me. They will not affect my internal world. Because, you know, even if the circumstances don't change, you know, honestly, sometimes things can get worse. Some things can get better. All we can control is our response and reaction to that. So our internal world needs to be, you know, the world that we're most worried about. Just saying, I declare, you know, this situation is not going to defeat me. I'm not going to get depressed, discouraged, disappointed. You know, the next one's going to work out. The next job I apply for, I'm going to get. The next, or that one wasn't right for me, the one I need is coming my way. And just, you just begin having a positive outlook. And it's not like you're denying reality. You know, you're like, hey, I didn't get that job. I didn't get that raise. We didn't get that bonus. We didn't get that whatever, but I know something's going to work out. Something's going to happen. Something, a door's going to open somewhere along the way. And just kind of having that positive mental outlook and saying those things out loud is huge. Declaring, what's interesting is the Bible talks about faith coming by hearing, and hearing, having heard the word of God. So it's like when you speak out loud, the things that you know, the promises, the trust in God, is it, you're hearing yourself speak. You can't, it's like you say, you can't think yourself out of a negative thought, but it's hard to have a negative thought while you're saying a positive thought. It's hard. You can't think something else of what you're saying. It's hard to, at least. So it's like sneezing and keeping your eyes open. So, you know, you just kind of keep, you know, you got to say those things out loud. You need to hear them said out loud. You'd speak them to yourself. I mean, David himself in the Psalms, it said he strengthened himself in the Lord, and he spoke and sang to himself. You know, he spoke those things. He strengthened himself by speaking out the truth about who God is. So yeah, so that's about it on that, Melissa.
Yeah, I completely agree with the
awkward transition
with the declarations. When I wrote my book Eliminating Fear, I talked a lot about the brain and how what we say actually helps create new grooves in our brain, which changes the way that we think. And changing the way that we think is the only way that we're going to be able to not fall back on old patterns of thinking from a place of fear, or living from a place of fear, or believing from a place of fear. And to change those thinking patterns, again, you've got to speak the things out loud so that your brain has the opportunity to make those changes. And then I would also say, just, you know, another way to not have fear when you're facing fears is to really develop time and room in your life for stress relief, intentional stress relief. Because as soon as fear begins to rear its ugly head, stress in your body increases, which affects you in negative ways, physically, emotionally, mentally. Stress wears you down. That's why things like adrenal fatigue and adrenal failure are so big nowadays. That's why there's so many mental disorders around stress, because stress absolutely is out to destroy us, and stress comes along as a partner with fear. And so developing some intentional stress relief in your life, Rick and I will ask each other this question, you know, are you doing anything to relieve stress, especially in the midst of extra stressful times? So whether that's meditating or getting alone for a little while, or making sure that you have space where you're journaling, talking out loud to God, exercising, whatever it is, wow, taking a bath. And we're going to get to laughing, because laughing is one of them. That's going to be the last thing we'll talk about. But whatever it is that you need to do for some intentional stress relief, that is going to help absolutely combat fear from taking over in your mind.
Yeah, one of our mentors in the faith, a guy named Steve Backlund, we love Steve a lot. And Steve used to say, and still does probably, that children laugh 400 times a day and adults laugh 40. And so children are also happy and stress-free most of the time as well. So sometimes you just have to purposely make yourself laugh, put on a comedy, or just laugh. Sometimes I'll just have to look at the overwhelmingness of a situation and just go, ah! I mean, you'd be surprised how much that does to relieve stress in that situation. Like the absurdity of something you're facing being so, you know, feels so overwhelming at that time. You just have to laugh about it, and just making yourself laugh. And it may sound a little crazy, so do it, you know, around people that you trust, so they don't think you're losing your mind. But you can feel like that, but actually you're gaining your mind, because it releases the cortisol, and the healthy positive juices get flowing in your brain chemistry that just do elevate your mood and reduce your stress. You know, and that's the other thing. We live in Oregon. It's rainy. You know, get out in the sunshine. Go exercise. Go for a walk. You know, take some vitamin D. Supplement yourself. I mean, but laugh. Put on a comedy. You know, it's just enjoy. Try to find some joy, because that's really going to minimize and reduce the stress in your body. It's, Melissa says, one of her famous quotes is, being serious about Jesus doesn't mean you need to be serious. In fact, I'd say Karl Barth says that joy is a serious business of heaven. So it's like, if we can just tap into that joy and that fun and that enjoyment of life, even when it really sucks, put on Ace Ventura, whatever your favorite comedian is, and just laugh your hiney off, it really goes a long way to reducing stress.
So just to recap, you know, as we're talking about how to not have fear when facing fears, Remember to rehearse the testimonies of what God has done in the past. Declare out loud the truth, the change, what you really want to see over your circumstances. Make some time and room for intentional stress relief. And then lastly, laugh your heart out. So I think that's about all we have to say for you guys tonight. Again, this is Rick and Melissa Wood with Living with Fearless Joy. You can find Rick on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Rick C. Wood, the letter C. And you can find me at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Melissa Joy Wood. We'll talk to you next time.
See you guys later.
Do you know of a young adult who has a passion for playing sports and who is determined to reach their full potential as an athlete? Hi, my name is Michelle Morgan, and I'm a transformational sports coach, speaker, author, and founder of Vida Es Oro. I earned a college basketball scholarship, and my purpose is to empower young athletes to reach their full potential in sports and in life. I wrote the book, How Youth Triumph in Sports, Tools That Create a Triumphant Life, for young athletes to know the valuable tools that makes players great, but most importantly, all those tools that they're learning to carry over to create a triumphant life. My book is available on Amazon.com, or you can also go to my website at vidaesoro.com. That's www.vidaesoro.com. You may also reach me at youthsports@vidaesoro.com to find out more information with working with young athletes.
The Living with Fearless Joy segment on the Sade Champagne Radio Show features Rick and Melissa Wood, who run a ministry called Fearless Joy Ministries. Rick and Melissa have a passion to see people free from religion, free from fear, and living lives full of freedom and full of joy. Melissa has authored a book titled Eliminating Fear, How Removing the Fear of God Leads to Removing Fear in Life. If you would like to book Rick and Melissa for any speaking engagements, conferences, or to talk about eliminating fear, you can reach them at the website eliminatingfear.com. Just make sure to go to the Contact Us page where you can get more information and you can communicate with them personally.
You can find Melissa at Melissa Joy Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can find Rick at Rick C. Wood at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And right here on Grind Hard Radio on the Sade Champagne Show.
Time for a song break. Here's my brand new single, Secrets of Love, that was written and executive produced by The Quakes. It is available now everywhere digital music is sold and streamed. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio.
Stars above, hopes and dreams outstretched. Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com. That's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
This is Veronica Esquivel Winters from the Wellness Made Simple segment, and thank you for listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 60 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, we will continue our What's Going On with Christina Renee discussion. We'll even open up the phone lines for you to get in to the conversation with us. And Nathan Martell will be back as one of our special reoccurring guests. We also have a brand new Supermodeling You with Nicolette Von Schell segment, our first Empowering Dreamers with Ramsey J. Jr. segment, and a new Charity Spotlight segment. Thanks to Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song, and to Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to my castmates, Veronica Esquivel Winters, Rick and Melissa Wood, and Michelle Morgan. Our final song of the night is The Walls Group with My Life. I'm Sade Champagne, and thanks for listening to my radio show. I don't ever take your support for granted. We'll see you next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time right here on Grind Hard Radio.
I don't want to be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
But I just think it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with ya. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the ground. I will stay high for him, cause that's just who I am. Right. Ah, you ain't laid down. You ain't laid down. You ain't laid down.
going slow, but we're all on the same road.
I'm only doing what God told me to do.
So it's more about Him
and less about you.
Born to shine.